Father, today was the day that you set your face towards Jerusalem and you walked towards the cross. Up until this day in history, you'd been telling people to keep it quiet. Don't tell anyone who I am, for my time has not yet come. But here today, as you set your face towards Jerusalem, you declared to the world that you are King. And we thank you, Father, for your willingness to head to that cross, to take our place, as you prepared yourself for what was to come in the end of this week. Lord, help us today to also prepare ourselves for what you want to say to us today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, for years, churches have celebrated Holy Week by focusing on four main events: Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem; the Passover, where Jesus showed that he was the Lamb of God; the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus; and the resurrection, the celebration of victory. But the word I want to focus on today is preparation. How did Jesus prepare for the Passover? How will we prepare to meet Jesus this Easter? How can we present Jesus to those that we meet every day? So today, we'll look at what Jesus did in the first half of Holy Week. How he prepared himself and his disciples for what was about to happen. So we're looking at Palm Sunday, we're looking at the cleansing of the temple, and we're looking at day four, where they celebrated the Passover with the foot washing ceremony, the Lord's Supper, and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. I know that during that week Jesus did a lot of teaching, but I want to focus on what he actually did, not the teaching this week, and how the things that he did impacted people then and still impact us today. But before we do that, let's pause and take a look at what a Kiwi Easter looks like. We have Easter eggs. We have Easter bunnies. Easter buns. We have Easter sales. We have Easter bargains. We have Easter holidays. And we have Easter competitions. Everything about Easter is commercial. We have traders that are peddling their wares. Everywhere you look, you see bright, garish posters. We get emails, advertisements all over the place, while the true meaning of Easter gets barely a mention. Now, we live in a society that largely ignores who Jesus is. Easter has become an excuse to overeat, to overspend, the last opportunity before winter for us to have a holiday. Yay! It's a long weekend, so let's skip church, have a break. And meanwhile, the greatest day in the Christian church calendar, the one true day of celebration, can pass us by with little or no fanfare at all. Resurrection Sunday should be the highest on the church Christian year. It's the pinnacle of everything we believe and everything that we hope for. A day to celebrate resurrection life, victory, triumph over death. But that's next week's message. Today is Palm Sunday. Let's look at the scriptures. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And reading from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on the colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and they did what Jesus had instructed them. They bought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them also on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him all shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the King, the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" While Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. And he's riding into Jerusalem peacefully. And the crowd goes wild. I had to sing that. Now this is a very political stunt. Or action, if you like. Today, we might even see this as a protest march. It's probably what they call it in the media. Jesus' action of riding into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey is the action of a king. A king rode out to battle on a fine horse, but a king returned riding a colt, showing that he came in peace. And no one that day would have missed the significance of what Jesus was doing. They fueled the crowd's expectations. Jesus was coming as king. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and try and picture the scene. It's the year 33. Jesus has his sights set on Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. And in your mind, see the picture. You can hear some shouting and some commotion. They're waving. Something's going on out there. You try and see what's happening, but you can't. Ah, I see something. Someone's coming. Somebody is riding a colt. Just like a king who comes in peace. Now, you've been hearing stories for weeks now about healings, about miracles, and most recently about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Could this be Jesus coming towards you? Yes. You take off your cloak and you spread it on the ground in front of you. You grab a palm frond and you start to wave it wildly. You start shouting with the crowd, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna!" And you glance up at the temple, and the priests and the Pharisees look really angry. And you sense that something profound is about to happen. Wow. Jesus is revealing himself to them as king. for the first time. The trouble is they had no idea what kind of king he was. Where they saw an earthly king coming to free the world from tyranny and oppression, they missed the humility of a king who was coming in peace to pay the price for their freedom. Jesus rode in on his colt in peace, just getting ready to share Passover meal in Jerusalem with his friends. Jesus knew that it was time. His time had come, and yet he came willingly. You know, today we call it the triumphal entry, and the crowds, for them, that was all they saw. It was a day of high expectation, because, as I said earlier, there'd been stories of healings and miracles going around for weeks ahead of time. There'd been a rumor that Lazarus was raised from the dead after 4 days. Jesus today was making a political statement. I am the king. But they didn't see the kind of king that he was. He was making a spiritual statement. I come in peace. It was also a day of confusion, because we see people who were seeking to see the end of Roman rule, to see them overthrown. We see disciples who were seeing prophecy fulfilled before their very eyes. We see Pharisees who see a threat that needs to be squashed, put down. But what do you see? How do you see Jesus today? Because the society that we live in largely wants to ignore him. As I said earlier, Easter is an excuse to overeat, to overspend. It's the last holiday opportunity before winter comes for most families. It's a long weekend. If we skip church, we can have a holiday. Let's pause and look at Jesus. A king who wants to come in peace. A king who knows that his time has come. A king who is about to lay down his life. You know, we live because he died. So how then will you prepare to meet Jesus this coming Easter? Were you part of that crowd shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Are you one of the disciples, a bit lost in the wonder of the moment and what you're seeing take place before your eyes? Are you a priest or a Pharisee, just wanting to stop this madness? What they say, the world's gone crazy. Where are you? What God's saying to you. Changing scene. The next day we find Jesus is at the temple. Reading from Matthew 21, 12 and 13, Jesus entered the temple courts and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers, the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Now, Jesus had gone to the temple to pray. He'd gone to worship. And the outer courts are absolutely chock-a-fill with people who are profiting from the Passover festival by what? By selling and buying, by exchanging money, no doubt with a huge profit involved. You know, each of the pilgrims who came needed clean animals to sacrifice. They needed the right kind of coins to use as an offering. And it was this very corrupt marketplace where no pilgrim could find a place to sit quietly and pray any longer. And Jesus was just incensed with righteous anger. Gone is the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Here we see an angry Jesus. Not angry for himself, but angry for his Father and for the visitors who have got nowhere to pray or worship in that place any longer. It was a righteous anger, and it explodes as he upends the tables of the sellers and the money changers and chases the traders out. Again, it's a very political action. Righteous, yes. Provocative, without a doubt. Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God. And he's even quoting scripture to the teachers of the law. And they are furious with him. How do you feel about this Jesus? As I thought about this, I wondered, is Jesus ever angry with us about anything that we are doing in his house right here? Worth thinking about. Or is he smiling down on us and saying, well done? Because he sees our hearts. He sees our desire to be at one with him, in unity with him and with each other. And after that, he goes out and spends the next few days teaching around Bethany and Jerusalem. So the third scene is the upper room. Jesus always said when he was coming to Jerusalem that he'd come to celebrate the Passover. He sets out to do it one day earlier than usual as he knows what's about to happen later that night. Reading from the Gospel of John, verse 13, 1 to 5, and then 12 to 17. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer layer of clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand," he said, "what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master. nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you also do them. Now, it was very customary those days for the absolute lowest of low servants to wash the feet of the guests as they arrived for a meal like this. But in this place, there were no servants. Everyone sat down. The streets had been pretty dusty, and they only wore open sandals. And they were dirty. The disciples had recently been arguing among themselves who was the greatest, who should sit at Jesus' right hand. And clearly, with that kind of mindset, they had no intention of getting down and being the lowly servant. So Jesus gets up, removes his cloak, puts a towel around his waist, a bowl, and he does it himself. And then he goes on to teach them about the significance of what's just happened, and instructing them to go and do likewise, to follow his example. The second scene in this being, of course, the Passover meal itself. But given that we celebrated communion last Sunday, and we do it every month, I'm not going to dwell on the meal itself today, other than to say that that is why Jesus came to Jerusalem, to celebrate Passover with his friends and to show them that he was about to become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He said, "This is my body broken for you. This is the cup of the new covenant sealed with Jesus' own blood." They sang a hymn. And they left and they went to the Mount of Olives. I've lost some pages for you. Just a second. I've put something in the wrong place. He came to Gethsemane. Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here for a while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee a little along with him, and then he began to get really sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." To read it off the screen because I can't. May your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away once more and he prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise. Here comes my betrayer." You know, I love the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because there's something about Jesus in the garden that I can identify with. And I believe that you can identify with. Jesus went there with his best mates, his disciples. He said, "Sit down here." Then he took the three close ones and took them even closer. And he said, "Sit down and keep watch over me. Intercede for me. Pray for me." And then he goes over a bit further and prostrates himself and prays. But when he goes back, they're sound asleep. He reminds them, "Come on, guys. Just 1 hour. Pray for me. Watch over me. Intercede for me." And he goes back and prays the same prayer again, asking God, "Do I really have to do this?" Knowing in his heart that he does. He goes back. And they're sleeping again. So he just walks off and leaves them and prays a third time. And then he comes back because he can see the crowd coming. It's too late. And he wakens them. And he says, "Look, they're here." What is it about Jesus in the garden? I put it to you, when your life is in a mess, when you are in pain, in grief, when you're feeling depressed, when you're feeling that nobody ever understands, nobody could ever understand, nobody's ever been through what I'm going through, hang on, come and meet Jesus in the garden. Because when we sit down with Jesus in the garden, when you picture him sweating tears of blood, he felt the weight of the sin of the past, present, and future on his shoulders. He felt everything that you've ever been through, everything that you will ever go through. And in that moment, you can meet Jesus, somebody who understands. Wow. In the garden, you can't hide any longer behind the excuse that nobody else will understand. Because Jesus, he was alone in the garden, but he felt the weight of everything that's ever come on us. And he can identify with you there in the garden. And you know what? He says to you, "Come. Come to me. Come and be blessed. Come and sit with me." You know, we can be like any of the people we've looked at today. We've looked at a crowd standing and cheering, and there's nothing wrong with that. We want people to cheer for Jesus. We've looked at a temple where there was no longer any room to pray. My prayer is that's never the case here, that this will always be a sanctuary where we can meet with Jesus. We've talked about being in a place to eat and Jesus getting down and washing everybody's feet. We've talked about Jesus showing the world that I am the Lamb of God. I have become the sacrifice for Passover. I am the one. This is my body that's going to get broken. My blood that's going to be spilled, which will proclaim a new covenant for you. Or you can meet Jesus in the garden. Have you ever met him in the garden? Because he wants to. Whatever you've come here today carrying, whatever pain, whatever issue you've got, Jesus wants to meet with you. He wants to meet your need. So how do you see Jesus today? How's he speaking to you? How's he preparing you for this Easter? You know, Father, I thank you that you come to us and you show us so many different ways that we can meet with you. Lord, it's great to be part of a crowd cheering for Jesus. And Lord, we were a bit surprised with the righteous anger, but we could see it was important and it needed to happen. We were embarrassed, Lord, as we sat in the upper room and you did what one of us should have done, washed our feet. You changed the Passover for us, Lord, and you made it something that we could identify with as speaking of you. And then you took us into the garden, Lord, and you asked us to pray. And we fell asleep. And yet there, you can meet us again today, Father. And we thank you for your understanding, for the way you identify with us in the garden. You've been all alone. And when we are all alone, you are there with us. Father, we thank you. You have been meeting with us today. My prayer is, Lord, that nobody would leave this place without having that need, whatever need they've brought to church today, met. Nobody would leave feeling that nobody understands. Because Jesus has brought us to this place, to this time, to this place, to the foot of the cross, into the garden. And he wants to bring healing. If that's you, go to the foot of the cross. Come and sit in the front so Chip or I or one of the elders can pray with you. Turn to the person beside you. And invite them to pray over you. But don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without letting Jesus touch you today. because he came that you would have life, that I would have life. He came to bless you. And even in his pain, he will meet you in yours and make you whole. Amen.